Welcome to the Logger and Listings Podcast with JFK Properties. This podcast gives real estate investors, experts, and entrepreneurs an opportunity to share their stories over a casual beverage. Hosted by the founding members of JFK Properties, an investment company that specializes in commercial and residential real estate. So sit back, grab a drink, and listen to this real, insightful, and sometimes funny podcast on real estate investing and entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I have COVID now.
You sound like it.
Yeah.
So we got to redo the intro now. The Logger and Water and Listings.
Yes, Logger, Water, and Listings. And Sniffles. So welcome to another episode of the Logger and Listings podcast with JFK Properties, featuring Jerry, Faraz, and Kurt. And that's 2 weeks in a row I actually got the order right. So something must be going on. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a 75 hard thing and 2 days of no alcohol and another 73 to go. So hopefully for the next 75 days, I'll actually get the order right for this podcast.
You're already at 2 days?
2 days, 3 days.
Sorry, are you counting dog years? Like, how did you get to 2 days? You just sent it yesterday.
Well, I started, and then it's like anything else. You don't tell anybody until you've actually decided to fully commit. So I've decided to fully commit. So now I've kind of shared it with everybody. So it'll be an interesting 75 days.
I also feel like that's an entire podcast on its own.
It could be. It could be. Especially when it's Logger and Listings. And as Jerry, you said in the beginning, it should be Logger, Water, and Listings for the next 75 days.
Welcome to Logger, Water, and Listings.
It doesn't have the same ring, but I think it could be.
Jerry, are you joining him?
No. Okay. I am drinking soda water mixed with vodka.
There you go.
There you go. There's water.
There's the water.
So today's episode, we want to talk about investment strategy and cap rates and how cap rates have really guided our investment strategy, our investment process. And I think for a lot of investors looking at different markets, you're going to encounter a lot of different cap rates. We've mentioned a fellow investor from Peak, and we had a discussion with him about cap rates and what they're looking at just based on the different markets that they're in, closer to around the GTA. Versus our properties, which, as everybody knows that has listened to previous episodes, are Northern Ontario, Sudbury, Timmins, and now moving out east into Nova Scotia. So when looking at cap rates, and I'll start with you, Jerry, is there anything over the past few years that you've kind of felt or thought about that JFK Properties should maybe do differently than looking to purchase properties at higher cap rates, like in Sudbury and Timmins?
Yeah, I don't know if it's that I think we should be doing it differently, but I've certainly brought it up to you guys a few times, mostly because, you know, the markets we live in, there's no way we could buy properties at the cap rates we're looking for. So it leaves it to more the northern or somewhat remote areas for the most part. So, but I know there's people that are making money in the GTA. Or major metropolitan in areas. And it's just a matter of, you know, is our strategy, and I think it's worthwhile asking for any business, is just making sure that the strategy is sound. And I think it's always good to question it. It's the cash flow strategy that we kind of learned in the training we took, and Kurt, that you've kind of come through the whole program on, is cap rates, higher cap rates. And then you talk to other successful investors that are half the cap rate or a quarter the cap rate that we're doing, but yet they're still growing their business and expanding. So I think for me, it's just a matter of questioning, are we still on the right path? Is it still the right way? And I think every time we've talked about it, we've kind of come back to, yes, the strategy we want to stick to, but it's always worth questioning. And when we talked to Mark a few weeks ago, it's really interesting to hear the different strategy of, you know, he was talking about sometimes negative cap rates at the beginning with kind of a longer term plan. And they count heavily on other strategies, whether it is appreciation as a part of that, or, you know, whether it's a flip or whether it is the, you know, increasing the net operating income so they can refinance. There's a lot of things that go into it, but we kind of came into it from the get-go of, we're looking for high cap rates, cash flowing properties, which was a bit of a different strategy for me from my own personal experience, because when you buy your own house, you're looking for to own a house that appreciates. And I've had success doing it that way as well in my personal houses. So,
no, and I think one thing for those listening, because not everybody that listens to Largan Listings is a current investor. Some people are very new. And cap rate is essentially your net operating income divided by the purchase price. So it's essentially your gross income. So what that property brings in revenue on an annual basis, minus all your expenses. So your taxes, your insurance, your management fee, your vacancy, repairs and maintenance, reserve fund, and then divide that by the purchase price. So when we started investing, as Jerry mentioned, we were in Sudbury and cap rates up there were, you know, between 7 and 8. And that was back in 2019. Now the cap rates, even in markets like Sudbury, are down in around that 5.5 to 6, which is a substantial drop. And if we look more at the GTA, you might find cap rates, you know, 1s, 2s. And as you move further out from the center of Toronto, they will start to kind of go up a little bit. So it does make investing in kind of those tertiary, further remote areas, like where we are investing out east, more appealing when it comes to cash flow. So what about yourself, Raz? Like looking at kind of the landscape, and especially after going out east and kind of seeing what higher cap rate properties look like, do you think it's worthwhile for us to consider investing in areas with lower cap rates and maybe utilizing a different strategy like the buy, renovate, rent, refinance, and repeat?
Personally, I'd like to continue what we're doing, but that's just me. I'd like to try that out for probably a little bit with our potential acquisition that is upcoming. I'd like to give that a go, maybe, you know, at least a year, and we get comfortable with that. We see what the expenses are like. We see what the gains are like before trying something else with lower cap rates. Of course, if ever there's any deals out there, I'd love to get into it or have you run the spreadsheets and let us know what, if it's a yay or nay. But, like we've always said, we'd love to get into the Toronto market and, you know, have something closer to us. But just with these rates, don't really see it happening. But out in Nova Scotia, the rates were great and the potential's there for sure. So personally, I'd like to give that a go first.
I think for me, I would have a little bit of a heart attack looking, running numbers on a cash flowing property in the GTA. It's doable for sure. Strategy definitely changes. And I think it also depends on risk tolerance, because if you're doing something with lower cap that's not going to cash flow, then you have to make sure that the renovations that you're doing, so the money you're putting into the property, are actually going to yield, you know, net operating income that, you know, justifies getting it refinanced at a higher value. So we just went through that process, not to that same degree with the church up in Sudbury, where we did get, you know, approved.
Sorry, what was the cap rate there on that one?
Cap rate there was, I think, about between 6.5 to 7, somewhere in between there on that building. But, you know, when we purchased it, you know, it was done at 6.95. And what was the number that we got it appraised at? Was it 940?
940.
Correct. 940.
Yeah.
That was the final.
And really, that was a matter of, you know, doing some cleanup on it. We didn't really do anything substantial other than the HVAC, you know, system. We already had the, you know, tenant in place and that's on a long-term lease. But what that refinance has allowed us to do is to pay off that initial financing, which was over, you know, 5.5%. And now we're down at about 4.5, I think, roughly percent. So therefore increasing the cash flow. So if our strategy was to go in and say, okay, you know, break even, I think Jerry, you've mentioned this before, and take advantage of markets that typically will appreciate more, although we can't bank on appreciation. But if market's going up, those areas are going to go up faster. And then looking at doing that renovation refinance in 6 months to a year, it's doable. I think our business is probably in a position to deal with, you know, flat to negative cash flow, maybe not every month for obviously eternity, but for a period of time.
And I think, you know, part of it for me is probably the success we had when we went up to Sudbury. We never counted on any appreciation, really. It was going to be more organic appreciation. So when we saw that appreciation and we were able to capitalize on that, I think for me, it just brought it back to, okay, well, should we be doing this? I'm on board 100% with what we're doing. It's just, I think it's worth questioning all the time. Is this still the right strategy? And the market changes, man. We saw it in Sudbury and we've seen it in the Toronto area. The market changes fast and it changed fast for, you know, values going up, and it might change fast with values coming back down a little bit in the near future just because of the Bank of Canada rates going up. So I think it's always worth questioning. But for me, I do think it's, you know, we've talked about networking before. And as you network, you hear people talk about different strategies and they're having success with different strategies. So can we, should we incorporate those strategies into ours, or should we alter ours? And it's not that I think we should necessarily. I just think it's always a worthwhile conversation to have. And how are they making money in the Toronto area when cap rates are at zero or one?
That's again another episode we'd have to get your best friend on there, Jerry. Don't know if you can handle an episode.
We will be talking about our lawyer.
Yes.
I don't know. We should have bought all kinds of shit in the Toronto area.
Absolutely.
Like multi-million-dollar plots of land.
Yep.
30 years ago, actually, we should have bought them. When I was 16, we should have bought them back then.
All the buildings. Now. All those buildings we missed out on.
Networking is not always fun. It's necessary.
Very, very
It's usually true. Fun. Sometimes it's not.
Very true. Very true.
Especially when my dad sat down there. Within 5 minutes, he looked at me and he's like, we got to go. And my dad is the most patient man ever. Yeah.
A couple of things that you just said, Jerry, that resonate with me is talking about strategy. I spoke with another investor today, actually, and one thing that he said that has kind of distracted him is trying to do too many different strategies. So he'll do like a wholesale and then he'll hear about the burst strategy and go and try to do that. And then he'll hear about lease option and try to do that. So instead of actually getting good at one strategy, he gets distracted. I don't think that applies to us because we've done several deals using the same strategy. And I think we're getting to the point where we have a pretty good system in place where, you know, we can somewhat deviate a little bit, maybe not completely from income properties, but getting more into the BRRRR strategy and doing it intentionally and not kind of saying, well, it's needed and this is going to be the end result, but say, let's look for properties that have those lower cap rates that we can BRRRR, pull some equity out through refinance, get them to cash flow, and then use that money to then move on to another deal.
But don't forget, at the same time, when we first started, we sat and we talked and said, let's just focus on one thing. And then a couple of months went by and we started looking at another. And then a couple of months went by and we started looking at another. And then all of a sudden we were like, wait a second, what are we doing? Which is it that we were focusing on? It? And we just sat there and laughed because we were just like jumping from one to another and not really getting anywhere with it until like what we did. We focused on a strategy and we started making that work. And then, like you just said, we did with the income properties. And now that there is income, we can start looking at others where I think we'd be in a more comfortable situation.
And it's a good point that if, you know, I can see easily how you get distracted and spread too thin if you try to spread your strategies, you know, or have one building that's this strategy, the next that's a totally different strategy. So I can certainly appreciate that. And I see the logic behind focusing on one thing. And again, it's not that I think we should veer off into another. It's to me, I always look at it and think, one of us should always be questioning, is this the right strategy? And I think that's part of what makes this work is asking those questions and having these conversations, because a lot of the time we've had these conversations and it comes back to, yeah, you know, I brought it up. I thought maybe we should look at something different, but we talk about it and I understand, you know, it kind of reconfirms to me what the strategy is, but You know, and I do think, to Fraz's point, early on, we kind of veered in different thoughts, not really, we didn't invest in those, but we kind of veered in different thoughts of how we could invest. And if we weren't all working full-time jobs, that's probably easier, right? Because there's three of us, we could each focus on a different strategy and make that work. But the way we're set up right now, we do need to be consistent with a strategy, and the cash flow strategy has worked for us. And that's what we've kind of based everything on to date. I just think it's always worth having those conversations. And again, as you network with people, how do you not acknowledge where they're having success and make sure that we're not missing an opportunity somewhere?
So I think opportunities are very important to look at. And, you know, there are strategies like wholesale, for example, that we can use. So even if we come across a property that, you know, we look at and we're like, okay, there is a deal here, but it's not something that fits our time frame, not something that we're able to do because we're already working on something that is, you know, much bigger or really fits our long-term goal for the business, we can always wholesale it out. So that's another way to kind of take advantage of being in the GTA. Maybe it's looking at wholesaling to those investors that, you know, are either new and or not looking for cash flow or looking more at the long-term play versus short-term. And I think we're going to find a lot of that as we start to attend more of these networking events like the one in May. So where people are, you know, sitting on a lot of cash, a lot of equity, maybe older, or just have different goals as investors as well.
Talk a little bit more about wholesale strategy then.
Yeah, so wholesaling, you know, is essentially getting a property under contract. So going through the same negotiation that you would if you wanted to hold on to it. And it doesn't necessarily need to be an income property like a multifamily. It could be a commercial property. It could be a single family home. It could be a duplex. You could actually wholesale essentially anything, where you can get a contract and get a discount to buy it and then find somebody that wants to pay you for that contract. So if you got a single family home, for example, let's say in somewhere in the GTA that's, you know, valued at 1.5 and you're able to negotiate at 1.4, you can find a buyer that says, hey, you know, I know this is worth 1.5 million and I'll pay you $20,000-$30,000 for the right to buy it at 1.4. So you as the investor, as the wholesaler, you know, pick up that $30,000 without having to do anything other than negotiate the deal in the first place and then find an end user that wants to pay you for the right to close on that property.
So is that like almost not having a real estate agent, basically?
No, because you're doing it as an investor. So you're not, you know, you don't need a license to do wholesale. There was a deal, and I don't know if you guys saw it, that was sent to us by a wholesaler.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and it was a horrible deal. Didn't right. cash flow at all. But no, you don't need to be a realtor, just an investor. So any property that you come across that you get under contract, that can always be an exit strategy. So instead of, you know, walking away from it for a reason, you could always see if you can find an end user that does want to invest in that.
And that was one of the strategies when we took the initial courses that it kind of struck with me in the sense of I'd never really heard, I didn't know that was an option, so to speak. I mean, in buying your own house, it's not something you ever typically put in as a clause that you can assign it to another party. So it's something that I wasn't really aware of. I didn't really understand, or I can see the potential in it. I just think there's so many people outside of, you know, any of the courses that we've taken that may not understand that strategy. And how do you get past that? Where do you, and maybe it's just, you know, having the right network and being in those right circles. But it seems like a great strategy to take part in, but I haven't really seen it firsthand how it works. I mean, I understand the logic behind it.
I know at one point we were chasing one, or we were going to get ourselves involved in one. And I thought, even when you were talking about the classes, Jerry, and we were talking about it, I thought, damn, this is great. This is easy. Like, we don't have to dish anything out. We can just lock this up and you know what, find a buyer that's going to give us that, and easy in, easy out. I thought that was an awesome strategy, but again, didn't understand the full realm of the whole market. And they talked about networking so that you find wholesalers and networking where there's just specifics looking for this market and all that stuff. But when we kind of
dug ourselves into it, it was not as easy. Maybe we just didn't devote enough time to actually get ourselves more involved other than just talking about it.
I don't think we had the network built up at that point. And I think that is a critical piece. If you're going to go into wholesaling, you got to have a list of people. You got to have a network. You have to know where you're going to market that to. And at the time we did it, I mean,
We did not have that.
That was early on. I think it was within the first 6 months that we started the business. I mean, we certainly didn't have the, and it wasn't our initial strategy. So we didn't even go in with that mindset, but I can certainly see how it would work. And I guess essentially, really, it's your expertise in finding buildings is what people are paying for.
Exactly. Finding and negotiating. So you're absolutely right. Like, your network is everything. The reason that that property, I think it was Elgin, and it was a good building and did cash flow, that we weren't able to find a buyer is because we didn't have a network. Now, the property that the duplex that I sold in Timmins that closed earlier this year was bought by a wholesaler. They got it under contract, they negotiated it down, and then they wholesaled it for another $5,000. So they made $5,000, you know, on that transaction without having to do anything other than come up with, I think the deposit was $2,000, which they would end up getting back when they assigned that contract to the ultimate person that closed on the property. So, you know, doing a wholesale strategy, you have to build up your network. And now with things opening up and being able to attend different meetups and different conferences and, you know, meetings and trainings, I think it's going to open up the avenue for us to say, hey, what types of properties are you looking for? Oh, you're looking for, you know, fourplexes in Timmins. Great. If we happen to find one in Timmins, that's a fourplex, get it under contract. We found something and then we could assign it. We're not holding in Timmins ourselves. I think we have moved away from there. I see your faces. But we could assign it to people
I kept
that
myself
do
on
want
mute.
To invest.
Right. I kept myself on mute.
If we can get 50% of our tenants in Timmins to start paying, then maybe it's worth reconsidering.
And maybe then, yeah.
Well, apparently they're close. They're very close to getting that sorted out. So we should know hopefully by early next week with that one tenant. The other one's paying on time. But these are just some of the challenges as an investor. It's not always smooth. It's not always roses. And you just have to fight through some of the challenges. But on the other side, if you're patient and diligent and stick to it, there are tons of benefits. So does this mean we're going to become wholesalers part-time?
Well, if we can make money
Let's
off
get it.
It.
Why not? And
I think it's just a matter of having some, at least some dedicated strategy towards it. I think there's an opportunity there, especially as we develop a greater network for ourselves, then I can see some benefit to it for sure.
Awesome. Because I didn't chat with somebody that's looking for 5 units. They're looking in the U.S., in Florida specifically, for rental property down there. And it's very easy. It's the same thing, you know, for us. If we want to expand in Nova Scotia and we met somebody at a meetup and they said, hey, you know, you guys are looking in Nova Scotia. I find something, I'll send it your way. And they send us, you know, like a 10-unit building that cash flows. I don't think we care if that person makes $20,000, $30,000 on the deal as long as the numbers work for us. So it's really investors helping investors kind of build their portfolios, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, which again, I think is really just you're using your skill set. And Kurt, it's probably nominating you on that aspect because from our end, that is your strength is finding properties and evaluating them quickly on a spreadsheet, and Fraz and I have tried it, and
we've reverted back to you, Kurt.
Yeah,
always, Kurt. I love.
Both make sense, but every time I punch in a number, it doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense. Kurt, I love the response from that person that you said, "No, we're definitely not interested." After you gave him a whole synopsis, and he writes back, "Okay, thanks."
I had another investor, Robert, who were getting the 25 units from out east. I sent it to him and literally he looked at it under a minute and he's like, absolutely not. So it just goes to show you that You know, just because somebody's wholesaling something doesn't mean it's a good deal. Just because another investor says it's a good deal doesn't mean it's a good deal. You have to know how to run the numbers yourself and make sure they fit your business. And when it comes to running numbers for wholesale, I'm actually going to look for a VA to do it.
Here we go.
Wink, wink. That's a clue for you, Jerry.
Whole other conversation.
Next on Logger and Listings.
Didn't we do VAs in a podcast earlier?
That was social media. Oh. And again, for those listening, please go check out our social media. Like, comment, follow, do all those things that the young kids do with social media. We really appreciate it. But yeah, just hiring a VA and having them, teaching them. There are VAs that specialize in real estate that will go out and hunt for properties and send out the initial communication on your behalf. And then you just have to negotiate the ones that come back. So turns it into a business instead of just kind of a side hobby.
Are they running the spreadsheets?
You can teach them to run the spreadsheets and analyze the properties.
Might be something worth looking at there, Jerry.
Well, yeah. It's working smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
Correct. Your motto.
Exactly.
Coming back to bite you in the ass. Yeah.
So in exactly 73 days, we can spend more time sitting in a pub and really trying to work on the business instead of in the business.
It's never going to happen, Kurt. You're going to be on this forever because the rule is if you slip up once, you have to restart. Like, you are now off alcohol for infinity.
You make it sound so permanent, which I guess infinity is.
Well, you're going to have two slip-ups, which you're going to be restarting again.
Hey, those aren't slip-ups. Those are pre-planned events that there's an exception. There's that window of time where
I read that, Jerry?
No, there was no exceptions.
Okay, actually.
I think right at the top of the link that you sent us, Kurt, there was no exception.
I think if you're outside of the city you live in, then you get a pass.
That's a very liberal reading of that.
It is. I'm not a lawyer. I do not play one on TV, but that was my interpretation.
Nice.
So are you just staying out of the city you live in for the next 72 days?
I think so. I think there's certainly an advantage of having a girlfriend that's in another town. I'm just saying there's ways around it. But yeah, I think this has been a very interesting conversation. I think from a business standpoint, it probably didn't go in the initial direction that we thought, talking specifically about cap rates and investment strategy and really trying to figure out how JFK can take a step into more of the low cap rate GTA market with a strategy that will actually work. And we get to hire more VAAs. So looking forward to that. And so again, we'd like to thank everybody that listens, that downloads, that comments and shares the Logger and Listing podcast. On behalf of JFK Properties, thank you very much, and we will see you again on the next episode.
Cheers to water.
Cheers.
Cheers.
If you've enjoyed listening to the Logger and Listings podcast, leave a like or a comment. Not only will we appreciate it, but it will also help this podcast grow organically and help other investors and entrepreneurs grow their businesses and have fun along the way.